PM board bombs.
Sometimes a cold open is just like a nice way to go, right?
Exactly.
Don't you think?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Hey, welcome back to Ian Board Bombs.
You are working an ED shift where you're interrupted by a patient being brought in by a family member with chest pain. He states earlier this evening the patient tried the one chip challenge.
Oh, boy.
Apparently, this is a thing where apparently you film yourself on TikTok eating one tortilla chip that's covered with the spiciest ingredients known to man. You are told that recently one individual died from this challenge last fall. But I guess
it made the New York Times. Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Nevertheless, the patient vomited, felt nauseous, then developed intense shortness of breath and chest pain. The family member called poison controlled because they thought they might be able to help him. And subsequently was told you should go to the ER.
Yeah.
He is tachycardic in the 110s, hypotensive, and the chest x-ray is normal. You do a bedside echo that shows a dilated LV.
That's weird.
Yeah. That's left ventricle, by the way.
Thank you.
Left ventricle. All right. Yeah. The patient denies any history of cardiac disease. Which of the following is a characteristic feature of Takotsubo cardiomyopathy? Is it A, elevated troponin levels, B, ST segment elevation on EKG, C, normal left ventricular function, or D, history of chronic hypertension? Hey, Briggs. Let's get into the right answer choice here. What it's going to be?
Yeah, so correct answer is choice
B. Hey, whoa. Can we do an intro or anything so people know who we are?
You're the one that did the cold open.
I did do the cold open. All right.
Yeah.
The choice, right answer is going to be B, ST segment elevation on EKG. Hey, we're EM board bombs. That was a cold open. Sometimes you just like to get into the question and answer and give people what they want. And we'll get into why B is the correct answer choice here and some of the key subtle findings of one of our favorite things, Takotsubo cardiomyopathy. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I think whenever that diagnosis comes up, everyone gets all jazzed up. And
every med student in the world.
Yeah. Right? They'll tell like a colleague about it too. They'll be like, oh, man, I just had a great case. The broken heart syndrome. Everyone likes to talk about that. But we're Ian Board Bombs, drop high yield board knowledge, board content, but also just life pearls, life wisdom. We like to do it in a blue collar way. We're not very fancy. So just excuse our overall appearances. We don't have like beautiful studios and other things. That's fine.
We're both wearing t-shirts. We both have microphones.
I know. Like we both just kind of rolled out of bed. So it's Super Bowl Sunday. We're just going to do our own thing, right? That's how we do it on Ian
Board. I go to work later today. Yeah,
there you go. We're sponsored.
You'll see a lot
by
of chip challenges. Yeah,
we're sponsored. One of our sponsors, I guess, is EM News. The only one we allow. We say no to everyone else because the main thing that keeps this podcast going is our premium pod, EM Rapid Bombs. EM Rapid Bombs. You can find it. Go to our website, emboardbombs.com. Our question bank that's available there. It's our premium podcast where we drop high yield podcast episodes. They're about 3 to 5 minutes long. We have more than 400 episodes now and counting. We drop multiple episodes a week. Once you sign up, you get a email delivered to you multiple times a week with high yield board knowledge, but also just general EM content. It's kind of like spaced repetition. You get multiple things thrown at you so you can memorize them. And we've got subscribers from residents studying for boards to seasoned attendings who love the premium pod. So check it out.
Let's dig into this. Get it out of the way here.
Let's
go. There's a lot of similarity with this condition with many others. So this is more of just like one of those buzzword diagnoses you have to recognize.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty strange one. It's pretty rare too. But as you said correctly, every now and then you'll see this or someone will see it at work and talk about it every couple of years. Yep. So basically, with Takotsubo, there's some transient regional systolic dysfunction of the left ventricle. And it's in the absence of any coronary artery disease or any plaque rupture. So no ACS stuff. And the current thought is that there's some type of intense catecholaminergic surge that causes something called myocardial stunning.
Right.
And most of the time, this will happen at the apex of the heart. Mm-hmm. And as you said correctly, this is due to what? Some crazy story from these researchers from the 1990s.
Yeah, so it's pretty amazing. So it was described, you know, again, in Japan, it was 1990, around 1991, when researchers noted this balloon shape to the left atrium, resembling a trap used to catch octopuses in Japan. I still remember being taught this during my cardiology rotation and thinking in my head, how do these researchers know that that's what, you know, like a trap look like, yeah. Right? Like that's how did those two things go together?
Maybe hashtag we should culturally do like, aware.
Maybe we should do a deep dive on this at some point. But this is one thing that people love to talk about. It's a great kind of question to ask
For sure.
Students as well.
Is it octopi or octopuses?
You know, I'm not going to get into that. Look, this can happen to anyone. But on the test, if they ask you about it, it's going to be a female. And in real life, it's usually honestly going to be a female.
Right.
Where this presents more of a predominance there. But again, it can happen to everyone. Sure. Some of the key risk factors are emotional stressors. Oftentimes, what we see in the ED, unfortunately, it's when there's a death of a relative or a close family member, some sort of natural disaster, some sort of major trauma. Again, just anything that will cause someone to be very stressed, in a very stressed state. Stimulant drugs are another one that can actually cause this. So that's something to be on the lookout for. And physical stressors can obviously, they can precede Takotsubo syndrome. So pregnancy, vomiting, diarrhea, hypoglycemia, and again, emotional distress. That's why it's oftentimes kind of broken heart, cardiomyopathy. People have like all these other phrases for it that they'll use sometimes. The crazy thing is we don't really know like the full incidence of this, but it's pretty rare. But you're going to see it in your career without a doubt. This is that phone call you're going to get from your cardiologist after the cath lab was activated. They're going to say the coronaries were completely clear, but I think they have Takotsubo that's causing this. So it's good to know. This is often going to mimic a STEMI and other forms of cardiogenic shock as well. The most common symptoms are going to be, again, it's going to mimic ECS, oftentimes chest pain, dyspnea, syncope, palpitations. And your EKG is not going to really be super reliable to help you differentiate between Takotsubo and some sort of occlusive MI. So again, these folks almost always are going to the cath lab, and appropriately so, based on EKG findings. You're not going to just sit there and be like, you know what? I do not think this is a STEMI. We are going to go ahead and...
We're gonna give a beta blocker, and we're gonna admit.
And we're just gonna admit, like, just abs. This patient.
Inpatient hospitalists won't challenge us at all.
This patient has had a family member who passed. This can't be.
There's no way it could be ACS.
There's no way it could be ACS. The troponin is only like 5,000.
Yeah, they did cocaine. How could they have a heart attack? As I've heard before many
times. Oh man.
So what are the features that suggests Takotsubo versus myocardial infarction within 6 hours? There's certain EKG findings that might dissuade this a little bit.
This is huge, right? Mm-hmm. And so again, it's one of those things. Hey, you're still getting like cardiology really involved. You're anything, yeah. But you're in your differential, like in your head. This is also in the back of your head that hey, I think this might be Takotsubo, which is you're not going to see those classic reciprocal ST depressions that you usually see. So again, that's because the myocardial dysfunction is more limited in the apex of the heart. And again, you know, you might also see diffuse T-wave inversions as well. But really, the absence of those reciprocal ST depressions, that is something that's pretty big. And then I was joking about it with the troponins. But, you know, the troponins, they, you know, I would say they are elevated often, but it's not necessarily super high levels.
Not at all.
Yeah, no, we're not talking like, you know, the typical. So let's get into the echo, because I think the echo is pretty big here, right? And we gave that example as well. This is where having a bedside echo available can help you.
That's helpful.
In with your clinical diagnosis, right?
Sure. So you're going to see this classical variant usually, and it's this apical ballooning pattern. Mm. And it's a systolic ballooning of the apex of the left ventricle with akinesia or hyperkinesis of the base, basically. And what is important here that you Google images of this, just so you know what it looks like, just in case they give you that video prompt or picture prompt on the test. Because they very well
on the YouTube. Can I show
the YouTube
what it looks like with my hands?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sure there's some type of
typical ballooning.
Yeah, you're doing a really good job of that.
Is that
octopus
that,
pot?
Mm-hmm. Is that octopus pot? Am I simulating what octopus? Okay.
You're doing a great job. Yeah, I'm really impressed. So if this were charades, you would have nailed it. So up to 25% of patients or so with Takotsubo will develop this really interesting phenomenon called this dynamic.
There should be a nerd version of that, by the way, right?
That would be hard.
Right? Yeah. Like you have to mimic pathology. Somebody create that game out there. We just gave an idea. Mimic a game out there for like
med school.
Students and right? Residents would have no interest because they'd be done with it. Yeah. You know, med students, they're like super jazzed about like, you know, getting
discovering pathologies.
Yeah, discovering pathology. So you should have like a card game where you have to mimic like what disease pathology looks like.
Right? I haven't had the joy snuffed from them yet.
What do you think cocaine overdose would be like? Right?
Well, we can't imitate it because YouTube will take our video down. So anyway.
Anyways, all right. Let's
go back. Up to 25% of patients with Takotsubo will have this very significant, interesting pathology develop, which is this LV outflow tract obstruction. You're probably wondering, wait a second. That sounds really similar to something else that I've learned about that Ian Borbaum's also talked about on multiple prior episodes, including multiple rapid bombs. And that's correct. This is exactly the same pathology that could develop that is similar to hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy,
HOCM. Cool.
But the mechanism isn't completely clear, and you're never going to be tested on that. The point is that the ultrasound will show some type of bulging of the interventricular septum into the left ventricular outflow tract. And of course, that is literally like the same type of problem that happens with hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy. And the ultrasound would interpret some type of sigmoid-shaped septum, whatever. You're never going to be tested on that word. But the problem is that these patients with an LV outflow tract obstruction can develop some type of shock without any significant ventricular dysfunction, which is really fascinating. It's really confusing as a presentation, and it can alter a lot of treatment decisions. And most of the time, someone's going to make the wrong decision here. We'll talk about why that is in a second. But the emphasis is that these patients, there's a significant minority of these patients that will come in essentially kind of acute heart failure or some type of myocardial stunning. It exacerbates some type of heart issue. And the key is they're going to go to the cath lab, a lot of these people, because they're almost always going to have ST segment elevation on EKG, ACS presentation. They go to the cath lab. And as you said correctly a while back, they're going to have a normal cardiac cath. And I would like to compare this to myocarditis. This is the same story. In fact, if you have a patient that comes in with some type of acute heart failure with ST segment elevation, STEMI pattern, and an occlusion MI pattern, they go to the cath lab. And the cardiologist calls you or the test question mentions they have a negative cath. There's only two diagnoses here that should come to your mind. Number one, myocarditis. Number two, Takotsubo. Those are the two.
Yeah. And remember, the symptomatology is going to be key here, right? Because with myocarditis, and this is for real life, with myocarditis, it's, I wouldn't say necessarily a slow burn, but you've got this prodrome. Right?
Smoldering.
Yeah, that word we love using, actually. So there's definitely a smolder.
Just a smolder.
Right? Whereas with Takotsubo, it's not a smolder, right? And if it was a quote-unquote smolder, they did have a severe onset of the symptoms as well, right? So I think that's absolutely critical. And so I'm glad you brought that up, Briggs. But again, if you want to further differentiate the two clinically and what you're thinking, you know, that's how it's going to be.
Cool. Let's get into the treatment here and bow out here. Super Bowl Sunday. We got to get ready.
I know.
So hemodynamically stable treatment is really simple. Okay, person comes in, chest pain, shortness of breath, whatever, workup, and it's a kind of a negative workup, except that you notice, hey, they're short of breath actively. Yep. You do a bedside echo, or maybe your chest x-ray somehow picks up on some cardiomegaly, whatever. Your initial treatment's the same as ACS. Yep. You give them aspirin, nitro, you assume it's still ACS, and you admit them to the hospital for further cardiology workup. The difference here and the more interesting type of patient presentation is these unstable patients. So hypotensive, aka hemodynamically unstable patient with LV outflow tract obstruction. Again, the really sick people. You're going to very, very cautiously fluid resuscitate them. If they have a good EF, you know, no signs of fluid overload. And the point of this is because more fluid will actually lessen that degree of that LV outflow tract obstruction, just like HOCM. It's the same management as HOCM. You should also be giving a beta blocker. And by beta blocker, you can do whatever you want, but really short half-life, Esmolol is a good idea. And you're going to avoid the following. This is so critical, and we've talked about this on the Rapid Bomb podcast for HOCM. You're avoiding diuretics. You're avoiding inotropes. Both of those will absolutely worsen the LV outflow tract obstructions. It's so critical to keep
that in mind. So what don't you want to give them in the ER?
You do not want to give these people diuretics or inotropes in the ER. You want to fluid resuscitate them, give them a beta blocker. I feel like this is the beta blocker thing is so counterintuitive because you have, you know, obviously a heart that's beating really difficult, they're hypotensive, and then anytime you say, yeah, let's give a beta blocker, any nurse or any other doctor is going to say, wait, yeah. Are you sure about that? And this is still the right decision.
And it's reasonable to discuss it with your CARDS team, right? Because this patient-
If you have one.
Yeah, if you have one, right. Yeah. You know,
spoken like a true ivory tower doctor. Meanwhile, critical access docs are like, sure, okay.
I know. That's fair. That's
so you're
fair.
Saying I arrange for transport.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? Is like at the end of the day, you're arranging for transport.
Yeah, for sure.
Or your CARDS, you know, team is on site. Or anything right. like that. It's reasonable to have that discussion, you know, doing it in conjunction with it. But that's fair.
Yeah. Point. All right, let's wrap this up. Next thing, hemodynamically unstable without LV outflow tract obstruction. So essentially you have acute heart failure with no LV outflow tract obstruction and they're hypotensive. Yeah. Hey, game's on. You're doing the same treatment that you would do for any patient coming in with cardiogenic shock. We've talked about this on a previous podcast. We've talked about on rapid bombs, on our myocarditis rapid bombs. It's all the same, thankfully. So cardiogenic shock.
Hold on. I listened to our pod, right?
I'm going to let you finish.
That we talked about, you know, where we said that Epi was the king of all pressors. Mm-hmm. What are you going to tell me to do here, Brinks?
I'm going to tell you to do something that you'll never do probably in real life, but it's on your test.
Huh?
I'm going to tell you to do something that you would probably never do in real life,
you
but
said
it's on
Epi,
your test.
We made fun of dobutamine. We made fun of things like phenylephrine. What are we getting into here, Brinks?
So it's kind of awkward to talk about this.
This is really awkward.
Yeah. But patients that are hemodynamically unstable without LV outflow tract obstruction, they have suspected Takotsubo.
Yeah.
Inotropes can improve cardiac output and organ perfusion. However, those requiring inotropic support might benefit from dobutamine. Now, the problem with this is, hold on one second. There's been no head-to-head studies. There's been no like major investigative reports. Remember, this is a rare disease that say, okay, let's test epinephrine versus dobutamine. Yeah. Let's test epinephrine versus phenylephrine.
Sure.
And so we're not saying that if you choose to start epinephrine for cardiogenic shock that you're wrong, because one, you'll never know really this is Takotsubo in the ED.
Yeah.
And so we're not saying don't do epinephrine in real life. Yeah. You got to have what you have, right? You may not have dobutamine at your small critical access hospital that Dr. Hussain is prejudiced against. So,
oh my gosh, I am so not.
That's the new story of the week. I hope Marlena listens to this and runs with it.
Okay. I also, you know, work shifts at a smaller,
Your 10-minute commute to the main hospital. That's really critical access. All right. So I'm glad the wake people listening to this are laughing. You have a water fountain, I think, like an actual fountain outside that hospital. Anyway.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, that's what I thought. Again, critical access doctors are rolling right now, just rolling and laughing. Raffles, as they call them. R-O-F-L. So anyway, let's just summarize this. I'm sick of this. We got to go. So the point is, on the test, very weird question.
Sure.
If you got Takotsubo, hypotensive, no LV outflow tract obstruction, they're saying, hey, this patient's in cardiogenic shock. What are you giving this patient that doesn't essentially worsen the catecholaminergic surge here, the beta effects? They're saying, oh, you should give phenylephrine. I think this is such a test answer. I just really don't think this is practical for real life.
Mm.
But this is like that test answer, though. This is what they want you to pick. And we're not really going to comment on the real life because it's just like you're kind of stuck where you're at with cardiogenic shock. You're not to blame for starting epi on a patient in cardiogenic shock that you don't know what the origin is. But on the test, they want you to pick phenylephrine or dobutamine. But phenylephrine is probably the right answer. And then, of course, like if they're in really severe shock, always saying ECMO is a bridge.
I could see like your facial expression when you had to say phenylephrine and then dobutamine. Like it was like you're like forcing yourself to say that. You know?
Yeah, exactly right. So let's summarize here. So this is not a benign event. Mm-mm. It has similar mortality to that of ACS, essentially.
Yeah.
So don't just say, oh, it's a psych thing or whatever thing. It's temporary. Yeah. They're going to get better.
Yeah.
Same rates of death of ACS. And ACS kills a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right? It's like very dangerous. So don't just say that this is going to be fine. manages just like cardiogenic shock. These patients are sick. Don't anchor on a patient presenting with a major life stressor as well, because about 30% of patients will come in with no substantial life stressor and they just develop this. Now, granted, that could be in the setting of drug use, but we won't get into that. The point is that there's some type of, could be a minor stressor, and they come in and we can't judge what a major stressor is. Always treat for ACS first. That's another big, big, big thing here. Don't try to be all academic and say, nope, we're not going to activate the cath lab for these ST segment elevations.
The patient said the reciprocal leads aren't just there.
The patient says their brother died recently. This can't be ACS.
This patient says they had Takotsubo before in the past.
It's a repeat Takotsubo. Don't do that. Don't do that. Always advocate for cath no matter what. And then if there's no ischemic changes on EKG, but the patient is in acute heart failure, you're giving a beta blocker. If they need inotropes, you're very careful of the dosing, as these can worsen that cardiomyopathy. And that's really about it here.
That's it. Ian Borbombs, we're wrapping up. Checking we just powered through. Everyone enjoy. I guess when people listen to this, the Super Bowl will already be over. Who do you think is going to win, Briggs?
I don't want to comment.
Come on. Let's make predictions.
Probably the Chiefs.
Okay, you're going
to
Chiefs?
The backing of the entire nation and every female in the country.
You know, I'm going for the Chiefs. I want Mahomes to get another one. All right. Why is there's someone called Taylor Swift, apparently, that's a big fan of the Chiefs. But anyways, EM Rapid Bombs, check it out. Go to our website, emborbombs.com. Click on our podcast link. If you need a podcast question bank, question and answers that has more than 400 episodes with coaching and everything else, go check it out. There's a trial option too. You can try it out for about a day before signing up if you don't want to commit right away. All right.
IT is right around that corner.
Let's go.